If you're looking for some fresh curriculum ideas, you're going to want to tune in to today's show. Today, me and the boys are giving you our honest review of the curriculums that we've tried this past fall. So we'll be talking about what worked, what didn't work, what kind of worked, so you can get an idea of what might work for your family. And come on, what homeschool mom doesn't love talking about curriculum, right? Welcome to the Revival Homeschool Podcast, where you're going to learn how to partner with Jesus to build a homeschool that enables your family to thrive. God is calling your family to step into his peace, even on those days when you're worried your kids aren't learning anything and you're trying to remember why you chose to homeschool. If you're ready for simple routines, effective parenting strategies, and biblical wisdom that will transform your days from unproductive to intentional, then you're in the right place. It's time to revive your homeschool and step into the good plans that God has for your family. So set those kiddos up with some Legos or whatever's going to keep them busy for the next 20 minutes while we dig into today's show. Welcome back to the Revival Homeschool Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. We have a special guest on, or two guests on today, my two boys, Forrest and Silas, to share their opinions as well as we talk all about curriculum today. So at the beginning of the year, we had tried Me Academy, which is an online learning platform. And honestly, I was a little leery of having the kids on the computer because, I don't know, my kids have a hard time, I think as do most kids, being stimulated by screens. And then after that, then everything else seems more boring. Like, my kids don't like to do other things as much, it seems. They just want to, every time they go on screens, the more they do, the more they want to, and they lose interest in other things. And I don't like that. So I was leery of having them on the screens, but I wanted to get over that because I also had like personal issues about the screens that I had dealt with, like feeling like a failure if my kids were on screens too much. And it was a little over the top and kind of made it into like an idol. Like, if I could keep my kids off screens, I was a better mom. And that was just not the case, because screens can be helpful as well. So I just got this really unhealthy relationship with screens. So I wanted to get over that. So I'm like, you know what? Me Academy might be a great option. So let's try it. But I didn't love it, honestly. I felt that it wasn't really complete, that they didn't spend enough time in one area. But I honestly, I feel that way about a lot of curriculums, so that's not specific to Me Academy. But at the same time, I did feel that way about it. Also, it was a lot of work to print out the PDFs. They had PDFs that went along with all of the assignments, which I don't mind doing that because I put in a lot of work with any curriculum I'm using, but to print out the PDFs and have them match up and have all the papers where the kids needed them, and then to also supplement the curriculum where I felt it was lacking, that was too much put together. But the thing that I really couldn't get past was the scheduling. There was like no flexibility. So basically, you put your kids in courses and then you tell them, okay, which days are they going to school? Like, are you starting school in September and ending in June? You can put in vacations or days off that you want. And then Me Academy splits the work up evenly over the school year. But the issue was, if the kids didn't get their work done that day, it didn't go to the next day or it didn't stay undone. Instead, Me Academy redistributed all of their work evenly over the remainder of the school year every day that they didn't finish their stuff. So I just felt like that doesn't teach the kids accountability. Basically, it teaches them that you can just not do your stuff and then it'll just be pushed back. And that is just not real life. And that is not what I wanted to teach my kids. And there was no way around this. There was no way for me to redistribute the work according to our needs. And that just really bothered me. The other thing that I didn't love was the multiple choice questions after the kids like went through a lesson and learned some stuff. Like, my kids did not put their effort into this. It was like they could just guess. Like, I don't know if it was too easy for them, but they weren't even reading. Like, say they were doing like a language arts curriculum. They weren't even reading the corresponding PDF. They were just guessing and passing and getting good grades. So I'm like, huh, like you're not even putting in any effort. And a big part of why they were just guessing and trying to get through is because they wanted to get to the games. So Mi Academy has games, and you can either have them available all the time, or you can lock them so that they're not available until after they complete their assignments. So mine was locked until they completed their assignments. So then the kids just rushed through and didn't put their effort in so they could get to the games. So overall, I felt like it wasn't a good fit for our family, but the kids really seemed to like it, I think because of the games. So let's hear from them and see what they have to say.
All right, so I want to know about what you guys thought about Mi Academy.
I loved it.
Yeah, me too. I love it so much. Like, after you do all your schoolwork, the schoolwork is fun just by itself. But after you do that, you can customize your castle, you can hatch pets, you can interact with other players, you can play these learning games. I just love it.
And what did you think, Forrest?
Probably the school and all the stuff that my brother said.
Yeah. Did you think that the lessons were challenging enough? Or did you think they were too easy?
I think you assigned them way too easily.
They were too easy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been moving me up to 22nd grade.
Yeah, they were a bit easy.
Because I'm way too good at math. I'm a math wizard.
Like, the math was good. The math was good and hard for me. But, I mean, like, you put me in 4th grade grammar.
No, I didn't. I put you in 6th grade grammar.
Well, put me in 7th grade grammar.
All right. Well, this is the thing.
So you should put me in high school math.
So you thought the schoolwork wasn't quite challenging enough?
Oh, the LA wasn't a challenge.
I can spell things.
Yeah.
The LA wasn't a challenge, but the math was.
Okay. Overall, do you wish that we still used it, or are you...
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. I'd give it 5 out of 5 stars.
I give it 10 out of 1 million. I mean, 1 million out of 10.
All right, there you have it.
Another curriculum we were using and still use is Gather Round. And I really love the learning style of this. It's just learning together as a family. So how it works is that the family comes together to learn a lesson all together, and then they split up to do their individual work. So I feel like the individual work is a little bit light because it can be used as a full curriculum that goes through everything except for math. I don't think it's enough for my kids. And honestly, if my kids were the type to get into a project when they had free time and were self-motivated, I probably wouldn't be worried about it as much. But because my kids, they don't do that, they really do need more direction with their independent work. So I do like to have them, to give them more work, really. So as a comprehensive curriculum, I definitely add stuff into this. It's not a comprehensive curriculum for us, but I do love it. I love the unit studies. I love how they're written. I love the look of them. I do love the individual work that they get, and I do use that, but I give more than that as well. So that's my opinion. And actually, I'll put a link to Gather Round in the show notes because I do recommend it. I think it is a great curriculum for a family to learn together. So that's my opinion. Let's see what the kids say.
All right, now I want to hear about what you guys think about Gather Round when we sit down and do those entrepreneurship
like history
studies.
Like the history?
No, though the history is my own thing, but the entrepreneurship studies Gather Round, the bird studies are Gather Round.
Yeah, those are good.
What do you like about it?
I like that they sometimes have like fun activities for you to do. And they also have, like, these worksheets that you can draw a picture of the bird and, like, learn about entrepreneurship. And, like, yeah. I give it 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah. The stuff that we read out loud, what I'm reading to you, do you find it interesting and engaging?
Yeah.
Yeah?
But I like reading by myself.
But there is a benefit in learning things together, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so another curriculum that we use is Masterbooks Language Arts. So we switched back to this after we stopped Mi Academy. And I don't know if it's me, but I just really have a hard time sticking completely to a language arts curriculum. I really skip some things and then I supplement others. And maybe that's just the beauty of homeschooling, right? Knowing when your kids need more on a certain topic and when they had enough or they just don't need that because they already know it. So maybe that's just the nature of it. But overall, I think it is decent. I love that it's Christian, so it fosters a Christian worldview. I like that it has a Bible study that comes along with it. So Silas, he has the curriculum, the sixth grade, I think, that has the language arts and the Bible in one. So that's cool. He's getting both at the same time. But definitely not a comprehensive Bible study for my 10-year-old. I definitely want him in the Word more and not just doing like a devotional. So I wouldn't say it's a full Bible study, but it definitely helps for sure and keeps him engaged in the Bible, keeps it on his mind, keeps that Christian worldview at the forefront, for sure. And I do really like Master Books. I think that it's easy, it's open and go. And if you need to supplement with a couple of free worksheets online, like whatever, no big deal. Let's see what the kids have to say about this one.
All right, now let's talk about Master Books. That's the language arts that you've been doing most recently, the assignments that you get out of your books. So tell me what you think about that.
I love those.
You love them?
Yeah.
Are they challenging enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some of them are really easy, and I just like how it's like a perfect balance of easiness and hardness.
All right, so the perfect balance of easiness and hardness. Forrest, what do you think about your language arts assignments?
I don't like LA.
You don't like LA?
I love LA.
No, not at all?
I love LA.
No, what don't you like about it?
I like math, he likes LA.
Yeah.
I love Greenwood.
We all have our strong suits for sure.
See, I'm just like this to LA. No, I'm going to throw LA in the fire.
Well, I'm going to throw math in the fire.
Well, LA's worse.
No, math is way worse. Math is, like, completely hard. You have to go to Harvard to do it, and also it's just pointless.
It's question. Good. I got a question for you. So first, LA's bad. Do you think the LA that you're using, do you think that it is, do you think that the level of work is appropriate for you? Do you think it's too hard or too easy?
Too easy and somewhat too hard.
You think your LA is either too hard or too easy?
Yeah. Some are too easy and some are too hard.
All right. But overall, I think that, do you think that the LA that you're using is doable?
No.
All right. The next curriculum that we've been using is Singapore Math. We also went back to this curriculum after we stopped Mi Academy. And honestly, I love Singapore Math. I love the way that they teach different techniques to find out the same problem. I found that as I do it with my kids, that our brains work differently. And they'll teach you two different ways to do the same equation. And sometimes I'll find that I do it one way and that one of my sons will do it a completely opposite way, which I really find interesting. And this is one curriculum that I do not feel that I have to supplement. I feel that it is in depth and that it definitely masters a concept before moving on. But I might just feel this way because math is not my strong suit, so I probably wouldn't know how to supplement anyway. And that language arts is my strong suit and I love writing, so maybe that's why I'm so adamant to make sure that they get it all in. But Singapore has a teacher's book that gives you activities and games to go along with the lessons. It's kind of even built not just for a homeschool, but to be used in a school-style environment, like with a small group. So that's kind of fun if you want to like get games with, since there's, I have the two kids, we can do games together because they're not so far off on their levels. This year, I didn't get the teacher's book because I was like, oh, I don't really need it. And I forgot that all of the answers to the assignments come in the teacher's book. So I have been doing lots of extra work that I didn't have to do because now I have to figure out all the math problems on my own in order to correct them instead of just looking at the answers. So wah, wah. Next time I will definitely order the teacher's book as well. But overall, I really love this curriculum and I love the way they approach learning math. I love that it's really foundational and it builds upon itself. And it's fun. It's a lot of, it's engaging for the kids. So I really like that. But let's hear what the boys have to say about this one.
All right. What do you think about Singapore math?
What's
math
Singapore
curriculum?
Math?
It's the math curriculum that we use.
I know that's pretty good, but they do way too many crafts.
I know.
My gosh, like they do like 7 crafts per day. They go to craft school for 24 hours.
Oh my gosh, all of the board problems are based on the kids doing crafts. Do you think crazy. it's too hard? Do you think it's too easy?
All of the problems are based on them doing crafts.
Yeah. It's way too hard. They, like, do so much, like, the people that create that are, like, the best mathematicians ever, so I can never solve the problems the way they do.
It's way too easy.
And you think it's too easy?
Yeah.
Do you like how they kind of, like, put it out step by step and tell you when you're learning, like, what steps to take to figure out the problems?
Yeah, yeah. But I wish they explained it like normal people.
I mean, I feel like you and I aren't super math-orientated.
But I am! I'm my dad!
Yeah, so I
Dad hates math.
No, Dad's good at math.
Maybe he hates it.
No, I don't think so.
And my dad's gonna be home in -3 minutes.
Alright.
What?
So, and Forrest, what do you think about the Singapore math? If you could stick with that curriculum, would you stick with it, or would you try to find something new?
Try to find something new.
If you were looking for something new, what would you be looking for?
I'd be looking for a book that only has division, times, and squaring.
Those are the only things you want to learn?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. All right, so for our Bible study, I still love not consumed Bible studies. For a family Bible study, I definitely recommend this because we can go through a topic as a family, and each person has their own book that encourages them to open up the Bible, go to the verses, and then walk through the devotion. And then we can come together as a family after we've each done our own individual Bible study and then discuss it as a family. And I really, really love that. Right now, we're doing one on work, like work unto the Lord, which I really love, and on being grateful. And that is definitely not the title, but that is the gist of it, like finding gratefulness or something. I don't know. I'll link both of those in the show notes if you want to check them out. And this is an affiliate link, FYI, that I do get a percentage if you buy from this link. Another resource I love for Bible study is The Bible Project. Their videos are just beautiful and they're in-depth and they really cover different biblical topics, like really in-depth, always points back to Christ. And the videos, just my boys love them. They love The Bible Project videos. And so do I. I really love them. So I would definitely recommend The Bible Project. And not only do they have videos, but they have in-depth studies and podcasts and things that go along with the different topics as well that we haven't dove into as a family yet, really. But that I sometimes dive into on my own. But we definitely use the videos as a family. All right, now I want to talk book recommendations. I love books, and my oldest loves books, always, always reading. My youngest likes to read too, and we like to read together as a family. Not my husband so much. He honestly, he doesn't love reading that much. So my oldest definitely gets it from me. So the series that we've been reading as a family is the Wing Feather Saga, and I love it. We are on book four. I had to look over and see what number it was. And it is so exciting and just really, really amazing. And I'm kind of surprised at this because when we started the first book, I didn't love it. I wasn't sure that we were going to keep up with the series, and we actually stopped for a while. We finished the first book, and then we didn't get back into it for, like, I don't even know, like 6 months. We read other things, and I was like, maybe we should try this again, and I'm so glad that we did because now we're on book four, and it is just beautiful, and it's so exciting, and I really love it. I, like, love kids' books. I really like the adventure and the kind of like the, what is it? Like fantasy. I really like the fantasy. This is kind of like that. It's kind of fantasy and definitely adventure. And it's listed as Christian. I think the author is Christian. There's definitely nothing like overtly Christian about it, but there are Christian themes. And I love that. I love connecting the Christian themes, you know, inside of the story. But let me read the back of it. So it says, this is book one. Once in a cottage above the cliffs on a dark sea of darkness, there lived three children and their trusty dog, Nugget. Janner Igby, his brother Tink, and their disabled sister Lily are gifted children, as all children are, loved well by a noble mother and ex-pirate grandfather.
but they will need all their gifts and all that they love to survive the evil pursuit of the venomous fangs of Dang, who have crossed the dark sea to rule the land with malice. The Igbys hold the secret to the lost legend and jewels of good King Wingfeather of the Shining Isle of Anera. Full of characters rich in heart, smarts, and courage, on the edge of the dark sea of darkness is a tale children of all ages will cherish and families can read together. Just want to say there is a little bit of violence in it. They do have fights with the fangs of Dang. My son, my youngest, is 8. Definitely appropriate for him. Not too scary or anything like that. And I actually think we started reading it at least when he was 7, if not 6. So, and it had always seemed appropriate for him. Okay, so you know that I love it. Now let's hear what the kids think about the Wingfeather Saga.
All right, so I've been telling them about the Wingfeather Saga.
The Wingfeather Saga.
Forrest, would you recommend that to other families to read?
Yes.
And why would you recommend it? What do you like about it?
Because there's a lot of fighting and a lot of people die.
There's a lot of adventure is what I'm hearing you say. And then there are some people that die. Do you think it's too scary for kids your age?
No.
What about for younger kids? Do you think it would be too scary for younger kids?
For like 3-year-olds, yeah.
Okay, Silas, what do you think? Would you recommend this book to kids your age or to families to read?
Yeah.
And why?
I don't know. It's just got a lot of adventure and it's pretty cool, but it's a long series too.
It is a long series. Do you think it's drawn out or do you think that it's pretty packed of adventure so it's not boring?
Packed, it's packed.
Overall, are you happy that we're reading that book?
Yes. Yeah, I give it a 4.2.
Yeah.
I give it a 1,000,000.5.
Silas, I have a question for you. What books are you reading right now that you would recommend to other 10-year-olds?
Five Kingdoms.
Five Kingdoms? What do you love about that?
Five Kingdoms.
I don't know. It's just a really good series. I like it.
Is it like a magical book? Is it like a fantasy? Is it like a suspense and mystery? Is it historical fiction? What kind of book is this?
I don't know. It's just like an action adventure book. I'll give you like a synopsis of it. So basically, there a group of kids. They go to this haunted house on Halloween, but actually, it's a kidnapping spree. So they can sell them to slave traders are in a different universe. And the different universe is called the Five Kingdoms. So basically, in the first book, they go to Sambria, and they all get sold. And then the main character, Cole, has to find his friends and get back. But here's a disclaimer. He can't get back. Yay! Until the end.
So Five Kingdoms is the book you recommend. Are there any themes in this book that you think are not in line with Christianity?
Yeah.
No.
Any magic, any...
They all have, like, powers and stuff.
They have powers. Okay,
like, there's so five kingdoms, power. And each kingdom has a power.
Okay.
But there's actually only 4 of them have powers, because there was a fifth one. The fifth one is, like, a tech city, and they don't have powers. They just have tech.
Okay. What about some of the other books you've been reading? Spy Kids. You were really loving that one.
Spy Kids?
Is that what it was called?
No, it's Spy School. Spy School is the best book that I've ever read. It's literally the best. Spy School is about this kid named Ben Ripley, and he just gets hired to be a spy, and it's like first person. And I just really love it. I recommend it to anyone. I recommend it to anyone 10 through like 14 because like it's really good. But little kids shouldn't read it because, like, there's assassins and stuff.
And what do you like best about Spy School? The adventure, the mystery?
All of it.
So tell me a little bit. Is it adventure? Is it mystery? What is it?
It's all of it except for mystery. Okay. It's amazing. It's literally just the best book ever, but I don't want to give spoilers to anyone who reads it because it is the best book ever.
All right, Forrest, so you wanted to recommend a book, too. What book do you recommend for kids your age?
Ruff, ruff.
What is that?
Dog Man.
And what do you love about Dog Man?
Dog Man is funny. Dog Man is cool. It's about a dog.
It's about a dog? So is that why you would recommend it? Because it's funny and cool?
Yeah, you want to know why it's called Dog Man? So there's this cop, and his head fell off. Dying. Yeah, his head was dying. And there's a dog, and his body was dying. They stitched the dog's head to the man's body. But they had to cut off the man's head. But gladly, it doesn't show that part. And it's funny.
And so...
And there's this part in this book that's like, hey, Papa, you want to hear a joke? And then he's like, knock, knock.
who's Yale? A sidewalk. A sidewalk who? A sidewalk pooped on your head.
Ah! All right, so would you think that they're, the language that they use, is a lot of potty language or no?
Yes.
Kind of potty language
potty
humor?
Potty pooping.
All right, Forrest, do they ever use rude language or not nice language?
No.
No? So you think it's appropriate for what ages?
7.5 to 1,256,000.
Okay, so all ages 7.5 and up? All right, cool. All right, well, boys, thank you for your time and for giving us your opinions. And Silas wants to end with a joke.
Okay. Why couldn't the little boy listen to the pirate podcast?
How come?
Because it was rated R.
Nice one. I like that.
Silas out!
All right, so now for my personal favorite book as of late, not like a family book. My book that I love the most, I think, out of what I've read in the last few months is The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And I don't know if it's just because of my personality, like that type A overachieving type of personality, but what he spoke about just really impacted me about how we are just so busy and it really keeps us from connecting with God. And it was great. So I definitely recommend that. And I will put a link in the show notes, as I will to every book and every curriculum that we do recommend. And if you feel like you are in that, like, that motion of always being busy and always hurrying, I think that you would love this book and that it would really speak to your heart. All right. Well, I hope that listening to our experiences with these curriculums and our recommendations and what we liked and didn't like, I hope that it helps you to make some good choices for your family and find some things that really work for you guys. And I just want to pray that the Lord guides you through this homeschooling thing, that especially on your toughest days, that you can feel his presence, that you know that he is there, that you are able to carve out that time to spend with him, even in your busy homeschool days, to stay connected, because it is through connection with God that all things are possible, that you can do all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I just pray that you keep that in your heart as you walk this journey out, especially in those hard times, because sometimes we try to push through and figure it out all on our own. And it never is gonna be as good as it would be if we just turn to God and surrender to him and look for his wisdom and his guidance. So I just pray that for you, that you have that on the forefront of your mind, that you have that space to carve out, and that the Lord helps you to walk closely with him as you guide your family. In Jesus' name, amen.